Welcome to the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast, where we unpack and explain the powerful Word of God, making it practical and helpful to your daily life and especially to your job. The Apostle Paul tells us to walk in wisdom towards unbelievers. But do you know how to do that? Then you've come to the right place, because I'm going to tell you how to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside of the faith. Thank you for playing this episode 127 of the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast. In the last episode, we talked about how to improve your walk in Him, Him being Jesus, of course. And in this episode, we're going to continue walking. We're going to talk about how to walk among unbelievers. And Paul tells us how in two specific places in Scripture. So if he says things twice, he must want us to pay attention. So we're going to do that. The first place that comes to mind is at the tail end of the book of Colossians, which is a book that Paul tells us how to live in trying times and among trying beliefs, different beliefs. It's just an incredible book, one of those books that you read just a little bit of a time, because each thing that you read is very impactful and very helpful. But then he ends the book by giving some little one-liners that are something we really need to pay attention to. And then he does the rolling credits at the end. So right before the rolling credits, you know, like at the end of a movie, those credits are rolled up. Okay, so he does that in chapter 4, verses 7 on. But right before that, in verses 5 and 6, he tells us something very important that he wants us to do. It's almost like a bam verse, because it kind of comes all on its own. Like, oh, I need to write this one thing down real quick. You know, really important. He says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So even though this is pointed towards you, he's talking about unbelievers when he says those who are outside. And then how do you answer them when they ask you questions or chat or talk? That's how he ends that, by saying that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Okay. So even though this is one final thought or one final, I don't know, command, if you will, towards us, he says it very succinctly by saying, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. What does that mean, in wisdom? Well, that's what we're going to talk about, because I asked that, you know. Okay, Paul, you're telling me I'm supposed to walk in wisdom, but what does that entail? How do I do that? And yeah, we can say, well, everything he just said in this entire book of Colossians is the wisdom, but there's a lot there. But we can kind of whittle it down to just what he said prior to this from verse 12 on, where he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's his very endearing and eloquent way of saying, okay, fellow Christians, all right, dudes, or dudettes, here's how you act around people who are unbelievers or have these strange beliefs that we just talked all about. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Yeah, we've heard those a lot, and those are all very hard to do, aren't they? But I think that's why Paul says in this little final thing, he says, walk in wisdom. As we mentioned last time, that word walk is kind of the Bible Times way of saying your day-to-day activities, which generally include a lot of talking with people. Remember, in Bible times, people walked everywhere. And when they did, they would chat with each other. It just helped pass the time, because it took a long time to walk from town to town or from place to place. And so they would just talk with each other a lot. And that's kind of like what we do today, but only not near as much. But we still have conversations with people. So Paul says, when you're having these conversations with people, try to be tender, be merciful, be kind, be humble, be meek, which, by the way, meek is not weak. Long-suffering, which means patience for a long time. Don't jump right at somebody when they say something that's disagreeable. It says bearing with one another. Bearing with one another is really cool. It means hug them if you need. Say, man, is there something I can pray for you about? Are you going through a rough time? Is there anything I can do to help you? It also means put up with them for a while. Put up with their strangeness to you or things that are different than you. But back to what Paul means by wisdom. He gives you all of these things in this entire book of how we're supposed to act, and he sums it up with this little, you know, one-word descriptions, you know, the kindness, humility, those kinds of things. But then he says, walk in wisdom. So when you're chatting with somebody, be really wise about what you say, okay? We usually know what we're supposed to say. We know what our point of view is supposed to be, according to Scripture. At least I hope we all do. We get that, by the way, by spending time in the Word, usually each day, to get God's point of view on things. And then we have this need that the Holy Spirit kind of puts in us to tell others about that, right? Partly because knowing the right way, knowing God's truth is exciting, and we want to share that with others because we know it's the right way to live, and we know the answers to most of life's problems. We know how we get to heaven. We know how things are going to end, and it ends really good for us. And so those are exciting, aren't they? So we want to tell people about it. But Paul says, be wise about how you say that. We know that you want to tell people these things, but have wisdom when you do. Okay, the difference between knowing those things and wisdom and being wise about what to say is this. Knowledge is knowing things, and wisdom is how to apply those things. And Paul is saying, be wise. Know how to apply it. Apply these things that the Bible tells us lovingly, kindly, with humility, with meekness, with patience. And sometimes you just have to bear one another's burdens for a while and get to know them a little bit. Then you can tell them some of these things once they trust you. Because you know the saying, people don't care what you know unless they know that you care. So wisdom is taking the time to get to know somebody and for them to get to know you to establish some credibility. Don't just jump right out and tell them they're going to hell. To be blunt, don't be blunt. Get to know them for a while. Get to where they can trust you when you say some things like, you know, the Bible does speak about that. And I have learned to really trust what the Bible says. And I've learned that it's the best way of doing things. You know what I mean? Have you been around Christians who would rather just blurt right out some things that are wrong with somebody or that they think they need to hear? And how does the other person take it? Usually they don't. Usually they react negatively or distance themselves from that person. And Paul's saying, be very tactful with these truths that you know from Scripture when you're wanting to tell them to people. Be very tactful. Be wise about it. Know how to apply those truths in a way that is endearing with people, a way that is kind, a way that is humble, a way that is merciful, that is tender. Now, I know Paul says here, redeeming the time, okay? He says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. And I think a lot of people think, oh, I have to say these things right away before they get away. And I don't think that's what that means. I think redeeming the time is make the most use or the best use of the time that you have, not that you have to do something quickly. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will prompt you that you need to say something right away if that's the case. But more times than not, a little patience is what's best. And if you're feeling pressured to the point of being uncomfortable in what you kind of think you need to say, then maybe that's an indication that that's not a good time to be saying that. I'm just thinking out loud here. So take a brief second look at what you're going to say. And that might be what also Paul means when he says, walk in wisdom towards those that are outside. Think about it. The word redeem or redeeming means to buy something back, or to get or to win something back, something that has maybe been lost or has gone south. You know, it's started to rot or deteriorate, and you get it back to restore it back to where it should be. So a lot of times our conversations kind of start to deteriorate quickly. And Paul says to try and bring that back. So if the deteriorating conversation has something to do with, I don't know, the current state of affairs and politics or what's going on in the world or the news or something, try and redeem that. Get that back to something good, something more uplifting. Try and get somebody out of the dumps and back to hope, back to mercy and grace and a joy in life. And of course, Christ is the only person who can give joy and peace and grace. So we want to try and bring them back to being an example of Christ that they see in us. So don't necessarily agree with them and continue down the spiral of the conversation as it's swirling, you know, down the drain. Try and bring it back with some Christ-like attitudes, kindness, mercy, humility, joy, you know, something like, boy, I know things are really looking bad here in the world today, but it sure is nice to know that Christ is coming back and we win in the end. All these things that are bad get defeated. See how that conversation goes then. Or at least say something that is more uplifting, something more enlightening to bring the conversation back from the dumps. Does all that make sense? I hope I was able to explain that well enough. We just want to be someone that's enjoyable to be around. And when the conversation starts to go south, that's when our joy comes out even more. So the people can see Christ in us and ask us about the hope that we have. They're not going to ask us about the hope that we have if they can't see that we are hopeful, that we have a peace about us, that we're not full of, I don't know, anxieties and depressions like so many people seem to be today, that we are excited about the future and we're excited about being a Christian and we know and love Jesus, and they can see that. They can just see it in our attitude. We don't have to tell them. They can just see it. And then, as Peter says, have a ready answer for them when they ask you about the hope that you have. And then you can tell them about Christ and how he is the author of peace. I mean, Jesus is the guy that calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee with one word, peace. That's the guy who can calm the storm in our lives, and the storm that's around us may still be raging, but at least within us, there is no storm because we have the peace that only Jesus gives. That is hope and hopeful. And people won't recognize that we have that if we're saying, yeah, that is crap. Yeah, that is. Oh, man, I can't believe that guy's ruining the... You know, yeah, we may agree with that, but we don't have to be part of that storm. We need to be joyous and peaceful and hopeful. And people recognize that in us. That's what Paul says. And then he goes on to say kind of how to do that. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Grace. That's the first word there. You know what the word grace means. It's a virtue that comes from God. More specifically, given to us by Jesus. It's unmerited divine assistance, a disposition that's centered on joy and peace and kindness and courtesy toward others, putting up with the faults and the thoughts and accusations, if you will, and maybe even the statements of others that you don't agree with, showing grace to others. You know, instead of saying, I don't agree with that, that's not right, you can say, boy, I can sure see how you come to that. You know, you don't have to agree with them, but you can say, I can sure see how you think that. Learn how to speak with grace towards other people. Grace towards other people involves love for them, involves placing value on them and valuing what they say, even though we may not agree with it. At least they get the sense that you value them. Maybe not what they say, but you value them, okay? He says, let your speech always be with grace. So when you're talking to others, be gracious in your speech to them. And then it says, seasoned with salt. That's interesting, because salt does three or four things. The first thing is, especially when this was written, salt is a preservative. A preservative keeps something from rotting, right? Our speech should keep the conversation from rotting, from going down the drain quickly. Don't use words that will rot a conversation. Don't use a topic that will ruin a conversation. So don't ruin the conversation with your own words. Next, salt is used to put along the roadways to kill weeds and to kill grass and stuff. So it's a weed killer. So your speech should kill the rotting words that the person you're talking with is using. You know, maybe you say something like, no, you don't need to use words like that, especially describing somebody. You know, oh yeah, I know that guy's making some bad decisions, but he's still a human being and he deserves respect, or something like that. So use your speech to kill weeds, okay? Maybe even point out some lies or something that you know just isn't true or is fake news. But hopefully you've done your research and you know, so that you know you are telling the truth and correcting a wrong. Next, salt is used as a purifying agent. It purifies. So make sure that your speech is purifying and you do get a chance to correct a wrong and tell the truth. Again, make sure you know what the truth is so that you can tell the truth. And finally, salt is used to enhance flavor. To add flavor, maybe, but certainly enhance it. You know, eggs and potatoes taste terrible unless you have salt. Well, they don't necessarily taste bad. It's just that their flavor isn't very prominent. But when you add salt, their flavor comes out. That's what you should do with your speech, is say some things that bring out the good things in other people, bring out the good things that other people have said. You know, that's really interesting that you mentioned da-da-da-da-da. Can you tell me more about that? I'd like to hear more what your thoughts are on that. And it's hopefully a positive thing, not something negative. So enhance the conversation with bringing out some more things or just using pure words yourself to enhance the flavor. Enjoy the conversation. Make it lively and fun. And of course, Paul ends by saying that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Again, you have to know your Bible and you know biblical truth to be able to answer correctly. And that's why we spend time almost daily in God's Word, even just 15 or 20 minutes a day, so that we know what God wants us to say. And we do that by studying how Jesus answered people, right? You've heard me say that in a lot of podcasts. Read how Jesus responded to people and answered people. And what did he say? That's how we are to respond also. And those are the things that we're to say also. In Ephesians 4:25, Paul tells us to always speak truth to our neighbor and to one another. Speaking truth into a situation or into a conversation is what he says there. And that goes right along with this Colossians passage. As we talk with salt, we're to speak truth into the conversation. God's truth, what the Bible says. Now, you don't necessarily have to quote chapter and verse, but if you know the Bible's concepts, say those. Paul says in Ephesians 5, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us." Be imitators of God, including the words, including what you say to others. Try and use what the Bible's concepts are. Try and use God's word in your conversation. You know, because you read it every morning, right? Try and work that into a conversation. And Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk," there's that word walk again, right? "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Okay, what's that word circumspectly mean? Okay, I got that one for you. This term means accurately or precisely with great care. Isn't that another word for wisdom? We're to walk in wisdom. Not foolish things, but as wise people, because God's word gives us wisdom. We are wise when we know God's word. So try and use God's word in your conversations. And then it says redeeming the time. There's that phrase again. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Bring things back out of evil. And Paul says in these passages an awful lot with thanksgiving. So part of your conversation with unbelievers around you must include some thanksgiving, some saying thanks of some sort, you know? Yeah, well, we still have a beautiful day today, don't we? You know? Or did you see that sunrise? Wasn't that amazing? We still have beautiful sunrises and sunsets. And I think that a sunrise and a sunset is God's way of blessing us in the morning. And then in the evening when we see a wonderful sunset, very colorful, that only God can do, it's his way of saying, "Good night. I love you, and I hope you sleep well. And tomorrow, I'll be with you again." And then in verse 17, Paul continues, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There you go, right? When you read God's word, you know what his will is. So we must read our Bible at least 15 or 20 minutes in the morning and then try and use what you read throughout the day, maybe in a conversation or something. Hopefully you remember what you read. And notice Paul says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So folks, I believe that in our world today, us Christians have the best opportunity that probably this world has ever seen to stand out as light in a dark world, to be a good witness for Christ, to live as Christ lived, to emulate Christ, to be like him, and to talk like him when we're talking with unbelievers. And we should have the kindness and the compassion and the love and the hope and the joy. And we should talk with grace and make sure people see that we're at peace. And you know what? That's what people are lacking today, and they're desperately searching for. Hope, joy, peace. And we have it. We have it in Christ. And we should be the ones out there with that so people could see it and then ask us about it. And then we can tell them about Christ on their terms because they asked us, right? Don't be like everyone else. It's easy to be like others, but it takes wisdom to be a little bit different, to have the joy and the peace and the hope, to be holy. Holy means to be different, to be set apart from everyone else. Don't be just like everyone else. You're useless to Christ. And that's probably what Satan wants you to be. He may not get you away from Christ, but he could make you useless to Christ by being just like everyone else. Don't be. Be holy. God says, be holy because I am holy, and we're to be just like him, set apart, and in such a way that people look at us and say, wow, that dude's got it together. Wow, she really has peace. I can just see it in her. I wish I had that. And then as Peter says, have a ready answer when they ask you that about the hope or the peace that you have or the joy, right? Good. Thank you for joining me on the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast. Hopefully this will be something that impacts your walk in your job for Christ and for his glory. And I don't know what I'm going to be doing the next time. I'm going to be traveling for the next 2 weeks. So when I come back, I will have something really good, believe me, because I'll have 2 weeks to think about it. Remember, you can connect with me at the BlueJeansChristian.com website. Until next time, make them want what you got.